Are you feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, like you're just an Uber driver to your kids' endless appointments? Do you wonder, is this all there is? Stop driving around and try something different. Book in with Body and Mind Online for expert speech therapy, occupational therapy, psychologist and counsellors via telehealth. I founded Body and Mind Online 5 years ago, and it has since been one of the most inclusive therapy centres in the country. This podcast is my passion project. But I've realized that by not openly recommending Body and Mind Online, I'm leaving many of you to navigate the daunting task of finding the right providers on your own. Stop the struggle and get the support that you and your family deserve. Visit adhdmums.com.au and visit the therapy page to take the first step forward towards a balanced life with Body and Mind Online. Hello and welcome back to ADHD Mums. In this podcast, we tackle the tough, often unspoken realities of motherhood, neurodiversity, and mental health. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of ADHD Mums. Today, we're diving into a topic that's really relevant for all of us navigating life with ADHD. Stimulants versus non-stimulants. What is the difference and which one should we try? What makes the difference and how do we know what to request when we see the psychiatrist or the pediatrician for our children? Before we dive into the details of medication, I want to start with something that we all know about, but we might not fully connect to us and our ADHD treatment, and that is the fight or flight response. Think about this. You're walking through a dark car park and suddenly you hear footsteps behind you. Your body instantly prepares itself to either fight or run away. Your heart races, your breath quickens, and you might even start sweating. That is your body's fight or flight response kicking in. This response was originally meant for life-threatening situations. But here's the thing, it's not just for those moments anymore. Nowadays, everyday stress can trigger that same response. A phone call from your children's school, a bad day at work, even a loud noise, we can all be set off into fight or flight so much quicker than before. So you might be thinking, that's just not relevant. Can we just get to the point? Well, this actually goes back to the central nervous system, and this is the core of how ADHD stimulants work. The adrenaline that's released when we're in fight or flight mode is really similar to what happens when we take stimulants like Ritalin or dexamphetamine. These medicines rev up the system by increasing the adrenaline and the dopamine and basically giving your body like a triple shot coffee effect, but a lot more targeted. Your heart rate goes up, your breath quickens, and you suddenly get that burst of energy and focus. So let's break down the difference between stimulants and non-stimulants for ADHD, starting with the most common ADHD medications. First up, stimulant medications. Now, these are the most related to the central nervous system because they work by stimulating the central nervous system to produce more adrenaline and dopamine. This is what helps with focus and energy, which is why they're the first line of treatment for ADHD. Adderall is more of an American term, but it's probably the most well-known ADHD medication aside from Ritalin, and it's made up of amphetamine and dextroamphetamine. These two work together to boost dopamine and adrenaline, helping you to stay alert and focused. And of course, all of the amphetamine words that I'm using, please don't be put off by the word amphetamine. Dexamphetamine is nothing like methamphetamine, and it's a shame that people hear amphetamine and think addiction. I believe ADHD stimulants to actually be the opposite of addiction. If you look at the research around drug and alcohol use in ADHD people, what we see, the main reason that they use those things is to alleviate their symptoms, which is like anxiety, depression, stress, all of the things that are coming out of their neurodivergent condition that are not being treated or understood. A lot of the time people self-medicate with alcohol and drugs. So if you medicated ADHD properly, the research shows that those people or those children are less likely to turn to drugs and alcohol later. It's actually the undiagnosed children that are more likely to go into teenagehood medicating or self-medicating those symptoms. And it's more the undiagnosed adults that are still doing that. So when we think about using stimulants and we don't want to medicate our kids, just remember we're actually doing it for their benefit. And if you go back to one of my other episodes on From Skeptic to Advocate, that shows my journey around my first instinct was I would never medicate my kids to now I advocate it openly. And I talk about the massive benefits that it has. This isn't about making your life easier or being a lazy parent. this is actually about helping your child's brain path. It's about neuroplasticity, and it's about healing your child's brain so they can actually come off medication in the future. So basically, while their brain is developing, it's a great time to help it fire properly. And if we aren't helping it fire properly, then they will have an ADHD brain forever. Whereas if we medicate early with the right medication, by the time their prefrontal cortex is developed, they will actually have a neurotypical brain, or they won't have these deficits around functioning. And I'm really hoping that my children will be able to come off ADHD medication by the time they're, you know, 21, 25. 25 is more when boys come off medication, because their prefrontal cortex and their maturity level is so much more delayed. And then there's also Ritalin, which works similar to Adderall, but it's kind of different. So Ritalin comes in various forms: immediate, intermediate, and extended release. So you can choose the version that works best with your schedule. A lot of people with children prefer to have the long release because they can have the medication in the morning, they can come home and they don't need to go to the office, take medication at school. And sometimes that can be quite jarring if they have to then like give up their recess to go and get another medication, or it becomes a bit stigmatized. They're standing in a line with the medication being handed out. A lot of people have a problem with the way that it's done, or the way that sometimes teachers announce it. Or you might want to try something that lasts longer. You might want to try Concerta, which is a long-acting form of Ritalin. A lot of people prefer that because their children don't have to line up at recess and receive medication, and there's not as much admin around it, and it provides a more level mood for the entirety of the day. It just depends on how your child's body react, or how your body react as to what do you prefer. Let's talk about Vyvanse, which is also known as lisdexamfetamine. Vyvanse is unique because it's what's called a prodrug. This means it doesn't start working until it's metabolized by your liver and turns into the active form. This slower activation over about an hour makes Vyvanse harder to abuse and also makes it more stable throughout the day. One of the things that I really like about Vyvanse is that you can have it with food without worrying about how it will affect the medication's absorption. It's a little bit different to other stimulants like Adderall or Ritalin, when work best when timed around meals. Vyvanse you can have at any time, no matter what the size of the meal, and it won't actually affect the way it absorbs. Speaking of timing and absorption, this is key when it comes to stimulants. For example, if you are taking Ritalin with a big meal, it may not work as effectively because it gets absorbed more slowly. And obviously with vitamin C, most of us have heard about citrus and high doses of vitamin C can interfere with how Ritalin is absorbed, and Vyvanse and all stimulants. Vitamin C is not good to have with a stimulant. What will happen is that the vitamin C will send the stimulant straight to your kidneys, and it will be excreted before it has a chance to do its job. So nothing bad happens to you necessarily, except that you don't get the benefits of the drug as much as you would if you hadn't have had all the vitamin C. It's a good idea to wait at least an hour before or after taking your meds to eat anything with vitamin C. Same if you like to give your kids supplements in the morning, make sure that there's no high amounts of vitamin C in them. If we switch gears for a moment, let's go over to non-stimulant medication. These medications are a great option if you're sensitive to stimulants or struggle a lot with anxiety. A lot of people who are also autistic struggle with stimulants. A lot of people struggle with them staying up at night, having a lot of side effects, feeling really shaky, anxious. Personally, they don't for me, but they can for some people. So some people that have that effect, a non-stimulant don't rev up your central nervous system the same way that stimulants do. You won't get that jittery, anxious feeling. It's also a 24-hour job, so it's not a up and down 3 to 4 hours. You've got to remember to take another tablet or a tablet in the morning, and then in the afternoon you have the come down. A non-stimulant works 24 hours a day. A lot of people talk about Wellbutrin, which is one of the most popular non-stimulants. It's also actually an antidepressant because it blocks the reuptake of dopamine and norepinephrine, and also helps to regulate mood and focus. There's also Stirata, or a lot of people know it as tamoxetine, which is an SNRI. It basically adds focus without overstimulating your system. Non-stimulants take a bit longer to work. It can take 2 to 6 weeks for them to fully kick in. They do require consistent use, unlike stimulants, which you can take as needed. I also really like guaifenesin, which was also known as Intuiv for hyperactivity. I moved my kids from Vyvanse to Intuiv because they are all hyperactive. I did have an argument with the pediatrician around cognitive hyperactivity because
I believe that Intuitive does help with cognitive hyperactivity, which basically means lots of thoughts in the brain all the time. So you might have a girl that can sit still, but her mind is racing. That's cognitive hyperactivity. Our pediatrician didn't seem to think that was a thing. I let her know I had a problem with that, and Intuitive, I believe, has helped a lot with that. The exact way that guanfacine works to treat ADHD is unknown. It's a blood pressure medication which just has this random side effect of treating ADHD, and exactly the way it works is unknown. I do think it is a really great drug, but I wouldn't recommend it necessarily for people that are inattentive. It does have a slowdown quality to it. Guanfacine is thought to affect the receptors in the brain, which lead to strengthening working memory, reducing distraction, improving attention, and impulse control. If you think of it simply, non-stimulants are about the amount of thoughts coming in, and the stimulants are about the quality of the thought. Pediatricians are not always across this, so it's always best to educate yourself. SSRIs are an interesting one. We've had a few people who have come on and mentioned that SSRIs don't work for them. They haven't worked for me either. That's not to say they don't work for all neurodivergent brains. I know a lot of people have had great success. There are people questioning around whether neurodivergent brains have the same result on SSRIs, or do they just medicate the symptom of anxiety or depression but not deal with what's there? There's no real concrete answer. You might be wondering why one medication works for one person, but then it doesn't for another. It all comes down to the way that our bodies metabolize drugs. For instance, I'm not great on Ritalin and I go really well on Vyvanse and Intuitive, but I've had other people that have said the opposite to me. It really sucks that you basically have to go through trial and error. And, you know, especially with children can be really difficult because you're watching your child go through maybe side effects, or the first couple of weeks is being really difficult. You don't know whether to push through. You feel responsible. No one wants to medicate a child. And I have such a problem with people going, oh, you're medicating a kid to make them more sedate, so it's easy to parent them. That's actually not what I'm doing. I'm actually doing it because I love my child so deeply. And it's incredibly expensive and time consuming to go through this process to get this medication. And then when you get it, it's not necessarily the one quick fix. It can be really difficult to find the right one for your child. You're trying to communicate with someone that's a lot smaller, not self-aware. You're also trying to convince them to take it. It's such a difficult thing. One of the things that's coming out now, which I think is really interesting, is that they're doing like DNA testing to see how your body processes different medications. I think it will be a game changer because it will help you find the right medication without having to guess or go on all the wrong ones. I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's not something that I've tried. I don't endorse the company. I really don't know a lot about it. I'm just trying to give you an option if that was something that you wanted to look into. I'd like to see and hear from people who've done it as to whether it was accurate. If I was just standing out with my children, yeah, I probably would think about doing that if it was accurate. Let's talk about side effects for a moment. Whether you're on stimulants or non-stimulants, side effects are going to be there. You've just got to weigh up the cost benefit. There is nothing perfect. The common side effects are decreased appetite, dry mouth, headaches, insomnia. And while most of these are manageable, be aware of more serious issues like extreme weight loss, heart palpitations, severe nausea. When we were talking about stimulants before and the central nervous system, when you are having your body pump for fight and flight responses, your body is not putting any energy into like digestion. So you may not be feeling hungry, and that might be one of the reasons why. I just have to force myself to eat. So I force myself to have snacks. I force myself to have lunch. Otherwise, I have a raging headache at the end of the day. And you might think that's your stimulant, but is it because you haven't been hungry or thirsty all day? I think that's one of the things that you can monitor. Some things you just can't control the side effects. Sleep can be an issue with stimulants as well. So you've got to get your timing right, and you've got to decide if it's worth it for you. I think there's a lot of benefit in the non-stimulants, especially for children. I really found that the Intuitive has been really good for hyperactivity, and you do find, you know, kind of like the shoulder of the day. So the morning you can't get the stimulant in quick enough, but then if you do it too quickly, then the afternoon comes and your child's crashing. Do you then do a top up? How do you get them home? You've got huge emotions. So I do like the stimulant for that, but the stimulant can also really have that really laser focused response as well. And I don't think the Intuitive's quite the same level of focus. You've really got to decide if it's worth it for you. There is nothing more powerful in this world, I don't think, than education and self-advocacy. Personally, I don't leave it up to the medical system to tell me what I should and shouldn't do. I always go in researched. Obviously, this is an area of passion for me. And so it's probably a bit easier for me, right, than for some people. Now, they don't know what they're reading. It's, everything's conflicting. I get it. That's why I've got this podcast, is to break down a lot of that information. And I have got a medication guide online as well. You can purchase that through the shop. It problem solves it, all the common questions that I see. And it can really suck when you're seeing something and then you don't have a pediatrician or a psychiatrist appointment for 2 months. You have to rebook in that $600 for a simple question. So the medication guide is to go over all the questions that I see asked and some simple problem solving around it. For example, intuitive, you can break up in the morning or at night. When do you do it? What about fatigue? How does it work? All that stuff is in the medication guide. If you can, get educated and be confident and make sure that you have a really active role in your children's pediatrician appointment or your psychiatrist appointment. So go in there prepared, have your research and really have a look into what you're thinking before you arrive. There's nothing wrong with that. Personally, I like stimulants and non-stimulants. I've tried both. I've been on both. I think they're both really, really worth it. So have a look at your personal preferences. I hope this is helpful. Thank you so much for your time.
The key message here is you are not alone. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us on Instagram or head over and join our amazing ADHD Mums podcast Facebook community. Everything you do matters and helps to spread the word about what neurodiversity in females looks like.